Hello, I'm Luke Cardenine, the host of the Golf IQ podcast, and we've got some very exciting news here in Golf Digest land. It's a new newsletter available exclusively to Golf Digest Plus members, and it'll land in your inbox once a week. It's the greatest newsletter in all the land here at Golf Digest, but I admit there is an upstart rival in the ranks, and it goes by the name of the Low Net newsletter with Sam Wyman, who's here right now. Sam, what's the lowdown on your newsletter?
Well, my newsletter, Luke, is the reason that you are competing for second place at best. My newsletter, as you said, is called Low Net. It's geared towards golfers like myself who are very much in the middle of the pack at your course or your club. It's a game I live and breathe, and I'm obsessed with getting better.
No, in all seriousness, it's a great read. It's full of not just really interesting and helpful stuff, but really relatable stuff from the man who probably loves golf the most of anybody here at Golf Digest. So head over to golfdigest.com/plus. Sign up and start enjoying both of these awesome newsletters each and every week. This is the Golf IQ podcast, a place for golf nerds to dive into the science and uncover the secrets to playing better golf. I'm the host, Luke Cardenine, and welcome. Okay, Maddie, today we're going to talk about a very pressing and exciting topic, the topic of hovering the golf club at address. You know, there's actually a lot to unpack here because there are some pros who do it, some legends have done it, and we're just going to sort of describe some of the benefits to it and some of the reasons why you might consider hovering, even though it's as weird as it sounds. Are you a hoverer, Maddie? Do you hover the club?
I am in some parts of my game. Mm. So definitely with the driver. And with like a 5-wood off the tee, probably not off the ground. And then definitely with my putter or my wedges.
Yeah. Okay. So let's unpack this. First of all, what we're saying when we mean hovering the club is that do you keep the club head on the ground when at like the moment you start your golf swing? That's what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Someone like Greg Norman, when you see him about to hit a drive, he used to raise the club up. He would start his golf swing with the club head in midair. Bryson DeChambeau does this. There are a bunch of golfers who do this. Some people have started doing it with their putter too, which has some benefits, which we'll get into. So I guess let's just start off the tee. So I would say this is kind of a 70th. Most golfers start with the club on the ground, right?
Yep.
Probably about 70%, but it's probably about 30% who start with it in the air. So you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find it helps with hovering the club?
Well, I feel like it's probably just something that's in my head. There's no real research that I've found to back it up, but I saw all of these stories about people who start with movement, and you've talked about how you start your swing with movement. You step, you waggle the club, you could kind of rock back and forth. There's a lot of different things you can do. Mm. And for me, I feel like it really gets my forearms kind of like already in that like feeling of like they're getting ready to fire.
Absolutely.
Like, they're kind of engaged is a good word for it. What about you? I mean, I feel like this is something you kind of do, but do you hover?
Yeah, so I don't hover at address. I've tried it, but I think it's such a good point. And the reason why is because if you have tension in your golf swing, it's just a total killer in every way, shape, or form. You really want to be like Lee Trevino over the ball, where you're just moving around constantly, your feet, your kind of legs, your wrists, your fingers, like you're saying, everything. You want to just be keeping really relaxed, because the second you hold still, all that nervous energy you have before you hit the shot is just going to start locking you up and tensing you up. And this is why a lot of players end up hovering the club off the tee, is because when they, even this tiny act of just picking the club up off the ground, what are you doing? Suddenly you're holding the club in position, so you're engaging the muscles in your wrist and your fingers and your arms and everything like this. There's also a weird amount of kind of core strength, because you're not just lifting up the club, your body's also holding your arms in position. So that kind of engages your core a little bit. So you're engaging some of your muscles and you're forcing yourself to move just a tiny bit, which just relieves a little bit of that tension. That's why Bryson does it, because he just found hovering the club was in some ways his little trigger for like, this is how I'm going to start my golf swing. And it just keeps everything a little loose right before the moment he starts his swing.
Yeah. And when we say hover, I mean, for me, it's like a couple centimeters. Right. It's not like I'm holding the club really high off the ground. How high does Bryson typically hold it?
So let's say he tees it up a couple inches. He's probably hovering it about an inch off the ground for his driver.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, and you said you do it for fairway woods off the tee too?
Yeah. I think for the fairway woods off the tee, when they start down below, it almost looks like I'm going to hit, like it's a mental thing. Like it's a, you know, visual thing. When I'm like staring at the ball in my setup, I want the ball, like the club face where I'm going to hit it, to be even with where the ball is teed up at.
That makes sense.
Which I like.
Yeah. And, but it's, I think off the tee, it works really well. We'll get to on the greens, but I haven't seen anybody who hovers the club really with their irons. This one golfer on tour, Hayden Buckley, does, which is super, but it's super weird. He starts with the club head above the ball before he starts his swing. He kind of picks the club up, again, engages his arms, his wrists, his fingers, and then he starts his swing. It's really weird looking. He said he doesn't even really notice he's doing it. It's just a holdover from his baseball days is what he said, which is just funny. Obviously, you have to hover the club when you're in the bunker because you can't ground your club. Right. So there's another example of hovering. But around the green, this is actually something that I have started doing too, and I know you do it too, whereas I found this really helps because I do tend to lock up when I'm over putts. I get nervous, I get tense, and putting is such a finicky, delicate little motion that when I hover the club up, or as a Golf Digest Best in State teacher David Orr says, when you have the feeling of tapping the ground, like you're putting out a little, like you're killing a little bug or something, you're just tapping the ground, that releases a bit of tension too, and it just helps you swing a little more freely. Ricky Fowler hovers the putter, which is what's got me starting to do it, and I really enjoy it. It's really helped me, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, like you said, it could be another good trigger for people. I know that I struggle with sometimes like pressure putts. Just it's almost like you forget what you normally do.
Yeah.
And so like having something like that, that kind of brings you back, even if you don't read your putts the same every time, or you don't take the same amount of practice strokes, like, because all of that can go out the window when you're starting to feel the stress of like a high pressure shot.
Yeah.
But that could bring you back too. It could be a good way to get back to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like a lot of golfers sometimes lose a sense of time when they're over the ball. They just don't realize how long they're standing over the golf ball for. You know, they get up there and they're thinking about all this stuff. Oh, I got to do this. I got to keep my left arm straight. I got to keep my head down, whatever they're thinking about. And meanwhile, they're just to the outside, they're looking at somebody and they're just standing still over the ball for ages. They're not reacting. They've lost all connection with the target himself. And all that nervous energy is just building up in them. And it's got to go somewhere at some point. This is why, even though it's such a cliche, these tiny little micro movements that you can make, hovering is obviously one of them, but moving your feet, like I was saying earlier, these just take steam out of the pressure valve a little bit. It just helps relax you, these tiny little bits. And that's what I found doing this on the green, is that instead of me just locking up over these putts, when I just hover it, just, and now we're talking a real centimeter off the ground,
right,
it just forces a tiny bit of movement into the system, and then from there I can just go back and through and I don't even have to think about it anymore. So it's really nice.
And for people that are going to try this, because I'm sure somebody will listen to this and they'll feel like maybe this is what's going to unlock some better putting for them, or a better driver off the tee, whatever it might be, what would you say is a good key to like get back or to try it for the first time, to like get that into your routine and into your, or test it out?
It's funny because my wife is a pretty new golfer, and she I think would do this. She'd get over the ball and she'd get really, really nervous and just kind of lock up. And I would always say, just give yourself a countdown. They actually did a study about this and they found that when golfers gave themselves a kind of deadline, when they counted themselves down. So if you say, okay, at zero, I'm going to hit the ball. And I'm standing behind the ball now, and I'm going to start my countdown at 10. So 10, 9, 8, 7. Those golfers who did that, who counted it down and hit the ball on zero, actually hit the ball straighter and further and better contact than golfers who would just stand over the ball and had gave themselves as much time to do whatever they want.
Right.
For exactly this reason, right? Because they're getting all tense and they're starting to overthink things. So I think if you're doing a hover, I would do something like that. Say, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 seconds once I'm comfy over the ball to go and hit the ball. And on second three, that's when I start hovering the club.
Okay.
I would do something like that. Or, you know, you could do the same. You could say, I'm going to give myself 10 seconds from when I'm standing behind the ball. When I'm at three, I'm going to hover the club. And then obviously when I'm at zero, I'm going to hit the ball. It just creates a little bit of movement in this whole spacing. And again, it just gives you this deadline from which to hit the ball. And it also gives your mind just something to focus on, like a routine that you were saying earlier. You can just go back to time and time again.
Right.
And you're not just thinking only about all these little things to do. You're just trying to do the routine and get comfortable.
Yeah. And hopefully it'll help you kind of bring yourself back into the present as well. I know a lot of times golfers, I'm guilty of this. I'm sure, you know, everybody listening has probably done this. You've probably done this, but you get too far ahead of yourself or you dwell on the past and you're not focused on the present moment. And that will kind of bring you back to the present moment because you're also feeling the weight of the club in your hands. You're really having to focus on that moment. You can't think about really anything else.
Exactly. You're giving your mind something active to think about.
Yeah.
And it comes in the form of a small, simple task, but focus on it a tiny bit and it can really help.